1 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to read verses 6 through 8 together. I'll read verse 6. You read verse 7 with me. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 6. And he said unto him, Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith surely cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, But, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Please help us this morning on this truth. Please, I know it needs this truth needs to be in every Christian's toolbox. And Lord, I know there's so much on this topic. We'll just barely touch it this morning. But please help us, Father. Help my mind. Help us, please, as your people. And strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Saul is, his father has lost his herd of donkeys, and Saul is out looking for them. After looking, they can't find them, and they decide to go to the man of God, Samuel. And somebody said, well, a pastor in a New Testament is not called a man of God. Yes, they are. In 1 Timothy, they're called a man of God. And in the Old Testament here, they say, we're in a place where we need some advice and we need to know what to do. So let's go to the man of God. He's an honorable man and he doesn't lie. He has nothing to gain by lying to people. And let's find out what the man of God can tell us on what we need to do. And the word counsel is not just advice. I can find out how to build a wooden deck from a carpenter that's lost. I can find out how to level concrete from a man that's his profession and he does that day in and day out. I can ask a lost man advice. But when you ask counsel, look at verse 8, and it's wonderful. God gives us a definition here at the end of the verse that I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. At the end of verse 6, it says, Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. Counsel, if you looked up the definition is this, wisdom that helps one guide their life according to truth and principle. By the word of God. That's counsel. I can get advice from anybody, but there is so much in the Bible about getting counsel and the importance of a child of God getting counsel from someone that knows the Bible. And so if I read the, as a matter of fact, go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. You go to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, and Deuteronomy 32. And let me just read you a couple of verses here from Proverbs. You're going to Deuteronomy 32. Proverbs 11:14 says, Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15:22 says, Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. That doesn't mean in this day of social media where you can get your own group of people agreeing with you, that doesn't mean I go and find a multitude of people that agree with what I'm doing. A multitude of counselors means in my life, in my finances, I have a counselor that I seek biblical wisdom from. When it comes to child rearing, I have someone I seek biblical wisdom from on child rearing. My marriage, I have someone I get biblical wisdom from my marriage. And I have a multitude of counselors for each area of my life. When it comes to my job and occupation, I have a counselor, someone I can get biblical wisdom from for that area. That's very important. Friendships, entertainment, having a multitude of counselors, God says, purposes are established. One more verse, Proverbs 24, verse 6. By wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And then, once again, in multitude of counselors there's safety. A war is a major undertaking. You can't just, a country cannot just say, we're going to fight this other country. They have to say, how are the logistics? How are we getting the troops there? How are we going to handle food and supplies while we're there? What's the supply routes? What's the length? What's the time? What's the technology? There's a whole bunch of facets. And I think what God is saying here, by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. I don't need counsel on every part of my life, but I think major undertakings, I need counsel. Big undertakings. I think marriage counsel is very important. It's the second most important decision you'll make outside of salvation. Why wouldn't somebody want to ask their pastor about wisdom before you, that major undertaking? What about a teenager when they graduate high school? Their whole life's ahead of them. I would think a counseling appointment with their pastor, and not where he's going to tell them what to do, but where they can run past, Pastor, this is what I'm praying about. This is what I'm thinking about. Do you have any, if I was your child, what would you tell me? I've always been taught that's very important. Premarital counseling, getting advice from the Bible. Before you take on a major undertaking, okay, before my wife and I bought our first house, we'd never been in debt that much money. We went to our pastor. Before that, I'd always rented. I was getting ready to take out a loan for $34,000. I know that doesn't sound like a whole lot. People take out more for that than a car nowadays. But I was getting ready to go in. We'd never been in debt before. I got counsel from my pastor. And so this morning's lesson and truth about counsel from the Bible, all that God says about it, I think it determines this. If I only preach to you truths from the Bible, and you hear me coming through the speakers, and that's it, I'm your preacher, but I'm your pastor as I can help you and give you wisdom from the Bible for what you face in life. Some people only have a preacher. They don't know how to use a pastor. They don't know what a pastor's for. He's like, he's good in the pulpit. And some people's attitude about a pastor, and I understand that because I think the Catholic Church has done a lot to damage that. But here, neither here nor there, a lot of people think he's just a pastor. What could he know? He couldn't be of any use to me. And yet, the Bible teaches getting godly wisdom from people that know the Bible. If I just posed a question to you this morning, I'd like to be your pastor. I'd like to be more than your preacher. Here's what I hope. I hope you face a problem someday that you can bring to me and ask me to pray about and help you with. I hope there are things you let me give you godly input from sometime in your life. I like what one person said. One pastor told me, he said, you're going to fail me. He said, when you do, you're going to find out I really love you. I'm not going to throw you in the trash can. You're going to let me down. You're going to disappoint me. And that day's coming. He said, get ready. He said, because I'm going to love you through it. I was like, that's pretty good. Don't hear that all the time. Same thing with being a pastor or a preacher. Okay, Deuteronomy 32, you're there, right? Watch this. Look at verse 28, Deuteronomy 32, 28. For they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. This is God's frustration. Watch this. Look at verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. God's frustration, he said, wisdom, a wise Christian always has the tool of counsel in their toolbox. And God's frustrated with Israel, and he says, I just wish they were wise. But there's no understanding. They don't get counsel. This is God talking about Israel and his people. And you see the frustration here. Counsel is so important in the life of a Christian, and it's a basic tool that you should use. Anybody can learn from their own mistakes, but a wise man will learn from someone else's mistakes. And a fool will only learn from his. He can't take advice. Nobody tells them what to do. Take your Bible and watch this. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm right in the middle of your Bible. When I got saved, I'd never heard this before. I'd never heard this topic before. And it has been something that I have used ever since. My pastor helped me with it. But look at Psalm 119. Look at verse 133. And look at some of these verses on counsel. Ready? God says he wants to guide you with his counsel. Psalm 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. What a prayer. Lord, I know if my life is going to work out and be a success, I have to do it your way. Order my steps in thy word. Help me do things your way. Help me do the job I do your way. With your, you understand? Help my marriage to be done your way. And so order my steps in thy words. Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I find this in the Bible. Now you're in Psalm 119. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. I know I'm just laying a foundation for this truth, but I remember when I was in Bible college, you know, somebody gave a lesson on this, and I remember several hearing Bible college students, people that were there were training for the ministry, they were going, I ain't getting counsel on nothing. Nobody's telling me what to do. I mean, these are Bible college students. Then there were other people that said, what would somebody say? I'm my own man. I make my own decisions. And I remember one person saying, I'm my own man too. And I've decided I'm going to make my decisions by the Word of God. I was like, ooh, that's a good one. look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Ready? Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So a wise person, according to God, gets counsel, and a fool does not. Okay? You're in chapter 12, go to Proverbs 15. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 12. A scorner or a critic loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. So a trait of a wise person is they get counsel, and a trait of a fool is they don't get counsel. God says that's very foolish to not do so. You're in Proverbs chapter 15, do one more. Go to Proverbs 23, look at verse 9. Proverbs 23 and verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. As a pastor, I get to deal with a lot of situations and a lot of people and a lot of scenarios, and I watch things, and I've learned the art, I think, and I still have yet to learn. I know how to keep my mouth shut when somebody's not asking my advice. And I get the privilege of watching people destroy themselves because I know what's going to work and what's not. I'm like, if you do your kids that way, yeah, I know how that works out. They'll be destroyed. Yeah, if you keep doing your marriage that way, yeah, that doesn't work. It's never worked. But I've also learned, if somebody isn't saying, Pastor, you got any advice for me on this? You got any counsel on this? I've learned if they ain't asking, they don't want to know. So there is an art to keeping my mouth shut. But I will tell you this, I think it's part of a heartbreak of a pastor, is I watch people destroy themselves because they're going to do it their way. And they've got it all worked out. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10, we were there this morning in chapter 9. And you learn a couple of things as you deal with counsel and getting a biblical understanding of why we need it. And watch this, I'm not trying to drum up business and work. I just know how important this has been in my life. And I
I praise God for this. Somebody taught me this when I was a young Christian, and I've used it ever since. 1 Samuel chapter 10, look at verse 26. 1 Samuel 10, 26, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial," that's the children of the devil, "said, 'How shall this man save us?' And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace." Y'all see the difference in the attitude? There went with him a group of men whose hearts God had touched and said, that's my king. Okay? I understand the difference here. There was another group of people that said, he's just a man. What is he? They did the fact of God's authority meant nothing to them. Nobody's telling me what to do. I'm doing my, and I see a difference in attitude and something I want to avoid. In this day and age of cell phones and social media, when it's so easy to ask the pastor a question, you don't have to ask advice, but counsel concerns your life's decisions. I've learned this as a pastor. Counsel is an authority issue. It's not a personal preference. Even the President of the United States realizes this and chooses for himself a group of men whom he calls his cabinet. These men are experts or perverts in different fields in which the president has to make decisions. It depends on who's president, right? Okay. He meets with them for counsel and advice. But it's amazing, though, even the world and all through the Bible, the world understands this. Look, President Trump had a good presidency, and he got a lot done because of the people he surrounded himself with. He can see he surrounded himself with conservative people. And then he would get decisions and counsel from them. Look, if the world operates that way, and they're saying, if you're going to be a success, you can't do it all yourself. Well, then apply that to the Christian realm. Then I need help with biblical. Sometimes I can't see the forest for the tree. And this is all I see. And sometimes I need somebody that's not involved so they can see back. And sometimes they can see more of the picture than I can, right? But when I'm right in the middle of the battle, right in the middle of the fire, right in the middle, sometimes I can only see what I'm dealing with. And that's the wisdom of counsel. Wisdom says, I need somebody, one, that loves me, cares about me, and wants the best for me, and can help me through some problems. I love this statement. There's some things I know as I'm standing here. There's some things in your life you were never intended by God to face by yourself. If you want to, you can. But God never intended for you to go through it alone. Well, I just got to figure it out in the school of hard knocks, and I'll just hope this works. You can do it that way if you want, but there is a better way. Getting biblical, wise counsel. For instance, it might help you to know, I don't charge for counseling. I don't get paid any more if you do what I say, and I don't get paid any less if you don't do what I say. Aren't you glad? Right? So when you come to me and ask me for counsel, I pray. I'll try to tell you the best I can what the Bible says. And if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know the answer and I need time on it to study it. If so, I'll try to help you with it. But that's the wisdom, I believe, of counsel. Everybody gets counsel, but it's not always good also. You're not supposed to get counsel from people who aren't right with God. I could take you to Psalm 1. As a matter of fact, you're in 1 Samuel. Go over a couple of books to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, not 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and look at verse 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13. Ready? So Saul, the first king of Israel, died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, watch, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, that's your Bible word for devil, right, to inquire of it. So Saul sought advice from a witch. Here's what Saul did. Hey, there's a palm reader. Let's go ask him. Let's go ask him to read our palms. Or, hey, there's a fortune teller. You know those people are devil-possessed, right? And God killed Saul for doing so. A Christian's not supposed to have anything to do with that. Christian's not supposed to have anything to do with horoscope. We don't live our life by the vibrations of the universe. We're supposed to live our lives by the direction of God and His leadership and by the Word of God. God killed Saul because he sought advice from a witch. I want to talk to Samuel. I got to talk to Samuel. And so she supposedly... there's no such thing as somebody coming back from the dead. It's just devils. And if you read the rest of the story, but look at verse 14. And inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. You know, it's interesting. You put verse 13 and 14 together. I think God gets angry with Christians who seek things. God says, so you'll go to a fortune teller, you'll go to a palm reader, you'll check the horoscope, but you won't read my word? You won't inquire of me? Is it because I can't help you? And that's normally, I'm amazed at, I've got Christians in my family that check the horoscope. You know, they'll talk about it. Oh, I read the horoscope today. Can't go to work. Said something bad's going to happen. I mean, they said that on the phone. They literally live by that. And I was like, do you not read your Bible? That's so sad to me. But that seems to be modern day American Christianity. Isaiah 30 verse 1, listen to this. It says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. So, there is a counsel that's available that God does not approve of you getting. And I could take you to Psalm chapter 1. And matter of fact, go to 1 Kings now. 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. And look at verse 3. 1 Kings. So you got 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, and then Chronicles. 1 Kings chapter 12. And look at verse 3. I'm going to read quickly, and I want to point out to you verse 8, but so let's start at verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 3. That they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous, now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Solomon has died, the richest king that has ever lived and ever will live. And his son, they say to Rehoboam, you know, your dad's taxes were really heavy. If you'll just lighten it, we'll serve you forever. There's a reason Solomon was the richest king in the world. Keep on going. Verse 5. And he said unto them, depart ye yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with, notice, the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? Watch what the old men tell him in verse 7. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. That's what the old men told the young king. And that's what older men help young men do. When young men get advice from older men, be a servant to this people. Treat them good and they'll help you. And they'll help you be a better king. Good advice, right? Everybody knows that. Look at verse 8. Ready? But he, Rehoboam, forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. So he looked to his peers, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? Watch, verse 10. And the young men that were grown up with him, his peers, spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. He said, I'll double what my father did. Young men make stupid decisions. That's why this generation, wants the old men to leave the military and the older people to leave the police force. And that's why COVID is designed to kill the old people. They want them off the scenes. They're taking too much money. They're not a there's no advice and counsel. The younger generation has no value for the young older generation. God's plan has always been that the older instruct the younger. There's things you need to know that you can only learn from an older counselor. We're watching our society destroy itself as it says old people are valueless. Rehoboam did the same thing. And after Solomon, it went Saul, David, Solomon. And after that, because of the foolishness of Rehoboam, the kingdom split and was never the same. Because he got counsel from the young men and said, why would you get counsel from somebody that hasn't been anywhere, hasn't done anything, and has never accomplished anything? Young people need to listen to the older people. That's God's plan. Here, you see the value. I think it's very, okay, go to Proverbs chapter 28. Let me just show you one more aspect, and then I'll give you some things you can take home. Go to Proverbs 28, and look at verse 26. Proverbs 28, right in the after the little bit after the middle of your Bible. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Ready? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, I just do what I want to do. I wouldn't tell everybody that, because God says you're a fool. Nobody tells me what to do. I understand, but I wouldn't announce that. Don't announce that you're a fool to everybody. Let me read it again. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Could I read you Jeremiah 17:5? Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You say, why? Why are you a fool if you trust in your own heart? Because Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart will lie to you. Oh, just follow your heart and do what your heart says. A Christian isn't supposed to live that way. I'm not supposed to live by my emotions and feelings and opinions. I'm supposed to live by the Bible if I want a sure foundation. Now, I know this. Go back to Psalm. Let's look at two verses. Go back to Psalm verse chapter 5 and look at verse 10. We'll look at two verses here in Psalm 5. There is so much in the Bible about the evil of counseling yourself. Remember I told you sometimes I can't see the forest for the trees? Sometimes I'm too close to the problem to see the whole picture, and I need help from somebody that loves me and loves God and won't, you know, maybe isn't in it for the money, but cares about me to help me with the problem. That's good biblical counsel. Look at Psalm 5, verse 10. Ready? Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. There is verse after verse in the Bible. All you have to look up is own counsel. And fools follow their own counsel. Well, I've thought about it, and I think this is what I ought to do. And most time when a Christian says, oh, I've prayed about it, and this is what God wants me to do, they didn't pray about it. They didn't ask God's help. They told God what they were going to do. God, when it comes to this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and you better bless me. That's what they consider prayer. Oh, I've prayed about it. Did you ask God for help, or did you tell God what you were going to do? There's a difference. Their own counsels. They took their own counsel. I could read you Psalm 81. It says, my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me, so I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Isn't that sad? God says, you want to do your own thing? Have at it. Raise your kids your way. Do your marriage your way. Live your life your way. God gave them up to their own heart's lust. Then go. When you're ready, I'll be right over here when you call. When it's a mess, I'll help you straighten it out. But until then, do it your way. I don't want God to give up on me. I don't want God to say, you tell me no so many times, then do it your way, since you're so smart. I'm not smart. I don't have what it takes. I want biblical counsel. I want God's viewpoint on it. That's what do you need here? Let's go to, you're in Psalm, go to Psalm 119, verse 24. Let's look at one of the counselors. One of the counselors. Psalm 119, verse 24. I think you need to have a cabinet of good counselors. And I think the first counselor in your cabinet should be the Bible. You say, well, I don't know the Bible very well. If you don't know it very well, then get to somebody that does. Make sure they're a soul winner. Make sure they're using the right Bible, right? Make sure they don't use all versions. Make sure they use the King James Version. Make sure they, if you don't know the Bible, then get to somebody that does. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse 24. Ready? Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Testimonies is another name for the Bible. Thy word, thy testimonies, this is my counselor. This should be one of your counselors. It's wonderful to say as a Christian, what does the Bible say? Well, they're saying this, and you got to do, what does the Bible say on that subject? I don't want to know what the world knows. I want to know what God's word says. If I read you're in verse 24, go to look at verse 128, same chapter, Psalm 119, verse 128. Ready? Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts, or the Bible, concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. I'll say it again. Why would a Christian not say, what does the Bible say? What does God's word say? Because this is the most important thing. This is supposed to be one of your counselors. Also, go to Hebrews. We looked at Hebrews this morning in Sunday school. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at, it's back in the New Testament there, a little bit before Revelation. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Number 7. Ready? Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I'm not trying to run anybody's life, but the Bible plainly says, take in consideration your pastor who speaks to you the word of God. All you have to do is ask yourself one question. The Bible tells you, if he keeps doing what he's doing and teaching what he's teaching, where will his life be in 30 years? Considering the end of their conversation, right? Isn't that what it says? If he keeps doing that, he doesn't live for money, where will he be 20 to 30 years from now? Those that have the rule over you, I'm not trying to run anybody's home. I'm not trying to run your home. But when you come to church, there has to be somebody in charge, right? Because a headless anything is a freak, right? It won't make it, and a two-headed monster is a freak also. So there has to be some. So the pastor is put in charge of what we do at church, right? I don't have rule over you all the time. I don't want rule over you all the time. But can we read the verse again? Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Aren't you glad you come to a church where nobody's saying, you need to trust our church. You need to trust me as your pastor. Trust me. I'm not trying to get you to trust me. I'm trying to get you to trust the Bible. Amen? I'm not trying to get you to put your faith in me. I'm trying to get you to put your faith in the Bible enough to read it and do what it says. Then you can grow as a Christian. Look at verse 13, chapter 13. Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, watch, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Do you realize I'm going to give an account to God for every person that comes to our church? I can't make you listen. I don't make you do nothing. But I'm going to give an, the Bible says, I'm going to give an account for every person that comes to our church. Did I give you what God told me to preach, or did I do my own thing? As they watch for your souls, I look at people differently. I see you when you come into church. I watch your face. I watch your eyes. I pray for you. I watch for you. And I'm watching for your soul. Are you on the verge of quitting? There are some that are that way. Are you discouraged? Are you ready to do what God wants you? I watch for your souls because I'm going to give an account for you. I should be praying for you to that way, right? Right? Lord, help them to do what you want them to do. Lord, strengthen them and be with them. Okay? Read the verse one more time. Ready? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Watch this. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The last part of the verse is very important. This is not on pastoral authority. I just think Hebrews 13, 7 and 17 should be some verses every Christian understands. And it says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. I had one church member tell me last year, they said, "You don't know what I've done in the ministry." I said, "I don't care what you've done in the ministry. Your job as a church member is to do things my way. I don't care what you've done. I'm not being nasty, but when they put it in my face, I put it back in their face, and I said, I'm supposed to be happy with what you're doing. So find out how I want it done. If you're going to work in junior church, do it the way I tell you. If you're going to visit for the bus route, do the way I tell you." You say, why? Because I'm the one that gives an account. And if you cause me grief, and I'm stressed out over you, going, man, they're going to split the church, they're going to upset this, they're going to do this, then that's unprofitable. You don't grow. Everybody, I'm just reading it, right? I'm not putting things into it. As a church, I always wanted to be a church member that helped my pastor. Amen? Because God says if I was a grief to him or caused stress, I lose rewards in heaven, right? You say all that to say this. I think the Bible needs to be your counselor. I think that's plainly taught in the Word of God. I think your pastor is supposed to be one of your counselors, okay? Not your only counselor. Can we look at another counselor? Watch this. The whole subject this morning is on, do you get counsel? Can God guide you with what He has given in His Word? Watch this. You've got the Bible. You've got your pastor, okay? How about this? Choose somebody with a gift of wisdom. Choose somebody with a gift of wisdom. The Bible, your pastor, and somebody that is biblically wise. You ready? Here we go. They love the Lord. Okay, number one. If they're wise, they love God. They get counsel from godly people. If they're wise, they win people to Christ. They love preaching, and they're behind their pastor. Why would you get counsel about your life from somebody that doesn't go to church? Blows my head. Really? Who'd you ask about that?
Well, I asked this guy down at the bar, and he said, yeah, was he sober? Was he?
Why would you'd be amazed at what I hear. Where'd you find out how to do that?
Oh, I asked my uncle.
Really? Where's your uncle go to church at?
I think he reads his Bible.
I don't get counsel from family members. I have family members that want to tell me how to rear my kids, and they plainly said, I had one of them pull me aside. Hey, come here. I need to talk to you for a second. I'll never forget this. This was 20 years ago. Hey, you don't have a TV in your house? Hey, how are your kids going to be in touch? You need to. I just stood there and Garfield it. You know what I mean? The back of the window. Okay. That information went out the window. I don't listen to family members if they are not wise. You should have a checklist before I listen to what advice you give me on life. Do you love God? Do you love the Lord? Do you tell others about the Lord? Do you love your church? And do you love the Bible and your pastor? Amen. And if not, I'll Garfield you. I'll nod my head and smile. But your information goes one ear and out the other. Amen. Who do you allow yourself to get counsel from? be careful, Christian. Choose somebody with the gift of wisdom. How about this? Go to Proverbs 27, verse 9. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know who else should be in your counselor? You should have a sincere friend. Somebody you know loves you enough to correct you. Do they ever tell you what you're doing is wrong? Do they love you enough to tell you what you're doing is wrong? Or do they just tell you what'll keep the relationship good because they don't want to stress it? That's not a true friend. A true friend loveth at all times, and they'll tell you the truth even when it hurts. That's a good friend. You should have a good friend, somebody that loves you, that's not in it for the money, to get counsel from. Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel chapter 9, and I'll close with this. We started in 1 Samuel chapter 9 this morning, and he said, let's go to the man of God. We're kind of stuck. We can't find the donkeys, and my dad's going to start worrying. Let's just find out what we should do and what way we should go in this point in our life, and let's go to the man of God. And when you find out, I know we've already read that part, but go to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and look at verse number 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came. A day before Saul came. I pray about your problems. I pray, if you let me know what you're going through and what you're struggling with and what you need prayer on and what you need help with, I pray about it. I'm going to make the statement again. There are some things you'll face in your life that God had no intention for you to do by yourself. And he'll tell the man of God things God won't tell you, not for the man of God's sake, but because that's part of God's plan. Do you understand? It doesn't elevate me. It doesn't make me closer to God. But I honestly believe there are problems that some people face that God won't tell them what to do. God's already showed the man of God what to do. And when somebody has a bad attitude towards counsel, I think it hurts their Christian life. You'll make it. You won't die and go to hell. We know that's on salvation, right? You trust Jesus, he saves your soul. But how successful your life is depends on who you get counsel from or guiding advice for your life. And I think there's some things, there's going to be some problems. I'll give you an illustration. I was getting dizzy, and this is about 18 years ago, and I was getting dizzy, and I'd have to do this, and I thought, Pastor Owens came to the church at where we were at in Tennessee, and I said, boy, I'm really struggling with dizziness, and I think I just need to change my diet. I'm starting to, you know, I'm in my 30s, and I'm starting to have sugar problems, little as I know. And I said, and Pastor Owens, it was just he and I out by his car, and he looked right at me, and he said, I don't know why. He said, but you need to go to the doctor. I said, well, I'm going to change my diet. I figure I might be, you know, starting to be diabetic or something, you know. And he said, I'll say it again. I don't know why, but you need to go to the doctor and get that checked out. I went that week. We had a nurse in our church, and they took me up in the EKG at midnight, right? Here, I'll get you in. They ran an EKG. He took that EKG to the doctor and said, this is the worst case of White Parkinson's Wolf syndrome I've ever seen. You need heart surgery. So I ended up going to the VA. That's my illustration of how I thought I had the answer to the problem. And I was telling somebody that wasn't paid any more, any extra, but I knew loved me and prayed for me. And they didn't know why. But they just said, you need to go to the hospital. You're not going to fix this on your own. Every problem is not that drastic. But it is my illustration of, I believe every Christian will face problems that you won't be able to solve without the tool of counsel. And the only reason you wouldn't get counsel is pride. Nobody tells me what to do. I'll figure it out. Be careful, Christian. Don't let that happen to you. I wanted it to help you this morning. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth And Father, I know this is a lifelong journey. It's an attitude. But please, help us as your children.